We'll get right into it today because we got a packed show. State Treasurer Michael Ferrix will join us a little bit later on. Scott Nation joins us now. Scott Nation's the author of The Anxious Investor. He's been on the program a couple times. Scott, thanks for coming back today.
Thanks for having me. It's a good day to be back.
It is, not only because it's a calm day, markets, but I do want to mention it. I've read the book. I loved it. And so did the Wall Street Journal. Congratulations.
Thank you so much. Yeah, they posted a review this morning, and they loved it. And as an author, all you can do is cross your fingers and hope reviewers like your book. And fortunately, the Wall Street Journal did.
Do you think part of it is because it meets these times very well, this volatile time period, and you kind of look back at these three crashes? We've talked about the book before, but you examine our biases. And I think what the book lets me know is that if you can take some of those emotions out of it, you're going to be better in the long run.
And when the market is as volatile as it's been the first 6 months of this year, then it's so easy to let those biases get in the way of successful investing. So I think part of what is going on is I got lucky. Mm-hmm. So the book came out during a period that was just particularly volatile when people were looking for this sort of reassurance, I guess. Because I think most people know how to invest sensibly, and they know that we sometimes get carried away. But I think I got lucky in that it came out at the right time. Wrong time for the market, but the right time for a guy who's writing a book.
Right. Where are you at with this market right now? Just your quick opinion, because I feel like we're in kind of it's like a waiting period right now these last couple of weeks.
Yeah, you know, it's been a really tough 6 weeks, or 6 months rather. You know, the NASDAQ's down more than 30%. The S&P's down about 20% on the year. That's the price you pay for being in the stock market.
Right.
And people are going to say, what do you mean? Well, the stock market over time is going to return a whole lot more money than any other asset class. And the price you pay for that excess return is what we're going through right now. I do think it's important, though, that the last few days have been relatively quiet. Yesterday, the market came back a bunch, even though it was off, and settled. You can tell I'm an old futures guy because I use the word settled instead of closed.
Mm-hmm.
But it closed pretty much unchanged both days. I think that people are getting into the summer. They don't want to go crazy when it comes to investing or really get out on a limb with a bunch of leverage, which is a good thing.
Right.
So I think that's what we're starting to see. Traders are just really tuned into the calendar, and we know that the summer tends to be not particularly busy and not particularly volatile, and it seems like that's what's going on right now.
Right. I think we need an investing pep talk. We're going to do that after this quick little break, because some of the things I read in your book make me think I need to stick with my plan, and then hitting buttons doesn't sometimes happen because I get nervous. We'll talk about why my biases are there in a bit, but first let's get a look at weather and traffic. Mary Vandeveld. Scott Nation's author of The Anxious Investor, where the book really outlines some of our, what do you call them? I don't want to say faults, Scott. You have the word for it. Tendencies, biases. There it is.
I use both of those because we don't realize that we have these biases, but they make us human. They make us who we are.
And they make us bad at investing.
Well, the problem...
None of them are good.
No, and I talk about 15 of them in the book, 15 biases that all impact how we invest. And unfortunately, none of them, not a single one, makes us a better investor. You would think just through sheer chance, one of those out of the 15 would actually make us a better investor, but nope.
So... I know from a lot of people that they're doing okay. They have a good job, right? The labor market is good right now. Maybe they've gotten a raise over the years. They've saved up. They got their emergency savings all ready to go. They're maxing out their 401k. They're doing everything right. And even they are scared to stick with their plan of taking X amount of dollars that they have after all of that and investing it into simple things that grow. And they're getting nervous pressing the buy button. Even if they have 30 years till retirement, what biases is that?
Well, there's a whole bunch going on there. One thing I would say, and I'm going to quote my mother here for those people: congratulations, you're normal.
Okay,
you are normal. That I understand why you feel that way. The thing is that we're going to bring a little discipline to investing. We're going to see that tendency, that bias, that feeling that maybe we ought to change it up, and we're going to see it for what it is, and that's mm-hmm. just that. What has happened recently in the stock market, recency bias or availability bias is kicking in. And what are those? Recency is the tendency to believe that what has happened recently is normal, Well, it isn't,
right.
if you're talking about the stock market in this year, and or availability.
Mm-hmm.
And that is the tendency to believe that those things are which are available to memory are more common than they actually are. And the point I make is that, you know, everybody can name at least two or three stock market crashes.
Mm-hmm.
Well, that doesn't mean that they're normal.
Right.
In fact, you can recall them because they're not normal. So
right, that's why you know the name.
Exactly.
Because there aren't that many of them.
That's it, right. I mean, nobody that we know lived through the crash of 1929, but mm-hmm. if you ask about a stock market crash, everybody can tell you 1929. So, but what's that mean for investors who are anxious right now? What it means is that you just have to realize that, to your point, if you have a 30-year time horizon, then you want to buy, you want to invest, you want to keep investing, you don't want to stop investing. And again, the stock market is the only place in the world where we get upset because stuff's on sale.
That's a good way to put it, right?
That's the only place where we're upset that something we want to buy, that we need to buy, is on sale.
It's because of that recency bias. It's gone down. It hasn't felt good. We think that what if it goes down even further, which it can, and that still doesn't change the game plan.
No, and that bias is loss aversion. Listen, we hate to lose money. That's good. It's good that we don't like to lose money, but sometimes it leads us to avoid reasonable speculation or reasonable investing. And I talk about this in the book, and it's a really goofy way that our mind works when it comes to losses. But so, exactly, we see that the S&P is down about 20% on the year, and so we think, well, I don't want to lose any more money if I put in some this week, and so I'm going to hold off. Well, that doesn't work because, again, your time frame is 30 years, 20 years, 10 years, whatever.
I was going to say, because we say 30, but what you're saying now still applies even if you're 10 years out, right?
100%, absolutely. Right. And in the book, I talk about the likelihood of any investment making money on a 1 day, 1 week, 1 month, 1 year, 1 decade time horizon. And the odds are just overwhelmingly in your favor if you have a reasonably long time horizon of, say, a decade.
Mm-hmm. Let's say that there, and I'm wondering, and this could just be me overthinking things, but I do feel like the political world on both sides, we've been heated, right? We've had two presidents in a row with popularities very low, just to be honest here, and people are really concerned about the state of America as a whole, love it or hate it, right? And I'm not trying to make a political statement. I just mean there's a lot of tension about where's this country going. Do you feel like that might feed into people's fear of the economy that, boy, are we going to be okay as a country? And maybe that is starting to get people to go, is our economy going to be okay?
I understand why people might feel that way, and I don't care which side of the political spectrum you
right.
fall on. I can understand why people feel that way. At the end of the day, though, when it comes to the stock market, that is an excuse.
Mm-hmm.
Because the president is like the quarterback in football.
Mm-hmm.
Gets too much credit and too much blame, and you'd actually be surprised at how little power they might have over the broad economy or the stock market.
I call him like a baseball manager.
There you go.
Yeah, right? Like, you blame the baseball manager. It's like, especially with the DH now, what does a baseball manager really got to do? So that's their role in the stock market.
Right. I mean, they have there are things that they do, but the day-to-day impact they have is relatively small.
Mm-hmm.
And again, I'm not
right.
I don't care which side of the political spectrum
right.
you are on. That is the case. So but again, it reasonably long time horizon. It doesn't matter, and you are going to have a really tough time beating an investment in the American economy. So
mm-hmm.
let's look at it that way. You're investing in the American economy, not in some sort of political apparatus.
Right. I know the R word is getting used a lot now
sure.
with people, and I'm not asking you to prognosticate it, but even if a recession hits, you know, when it comes to investments, it's still unchanged in terms of the game plan moving forward.
Right. Again, if we have a recession and stock prices get hit a little bit, then you're buying what you need to buy anyway, and you're buying it at a discount. That doesn't make it easy.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you do. You look at your 401k statement, and it's less now than it was at the end of last quarter. You know, that's really kind of demoralizing. But on the other hand, you have to look, again, past what has happened recently and look at the long-term trend, and the long-term trend is stocks are a great way to grow wealth, to save for a retirement, or to fund an education.
What do you think is the most common bias that people have out there, out of the 15 that you write about, or one that really interests you?
Well, we actually, when last time I was on, we talked about this a little bit. The one I fall for the most is overconfidence. I think the one that most people, that does the most damage is loss aversion.
Okay.
And that is, again, we hate to lose money. That's logical. It's sensible. But we hate to lose money so much that we often refuse to make a reasonable speculation. And the mm-hmm. stock market over time has been a wonderful way to invest and speculate and make money. And so I would say that loss aversion is the one that probably does as much damage as any. Finally, really quickly, the very famous Nobel Prize winner, Nobel Prize winning psychologist and economist Daniel Kahneman said that overconfidence is the one human bias he would do away with mm-hmm. if he had a magic wand.
Okay.
So those are the two. Those are probably one and one A for me, overconfidence and loss aversion.
Okay. And everyone should be checking themselves and also be checking out the book. Author of the Scott Nations, author of The Anxious Investor, and I imagine well reviewed by the Wall Street Journal, and people can find it wherever they buy their books, right?
They can find it everywhere.
Yeah. Did you do an audio version? Did you read it for us or no?
I did read this one. Yeah, they didn't let me read the last one, A History of the U.S. and Five Crashes, which came out in 2017. They didn't let me read that one. They let me read this one.
That's so good to hear your own voice. Scott, it's great to chat with you, my friend. Thanks for coming by.
It's always fun to be on. Thanks so much for having me.
We'll talk again soon. Let's take a break, then the news on WGN.